Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast Reaction Time. Arkansas Razorbacks head down to Dallas and they lose a tough one, 31-27 to Texas A&M. And, you know, same song, different verse, guys, as Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones are going to join us here on the podcast. You know, this is another close game between Arkansas and Texas A&M. It's a completely different feeling around the program, though, than it was a week ago. And what did you see specifically that the Hogs did better against the Aggies than the previous week? And we'll start with you, Scotty.
Oh, man. I think offensively, they executed a little bit better. Hit some big plays. I think they got the run game going just a little bit. You know, Rakeem Boyd ran for nearly 100 yards, which was, you know, an improvement from the week before. And, you know, I thought some – like C.J. O'Grady, I thought, had his best game of the season. He had 8 catches for 91 yards, and he got targeted 13 times. And it just seems like he – whenever he goes down to Arlington, seems to always play really well. And, you know, I thought Ben Hicks came in and just did a really good job. Like, we just – you never know what kind of mindset a guy's in after he's lost his job, but it was pretty obvious that he stayed prepared and stayed ready and was kind of waiting on another opportunity to go out and play. And he, you know, his first 2 drives, he led Arkansas on a couple scoring drives, which was pretty big. And, you know, defensively, you know, they obviously, anytime you score and take a little bit of pressure off the offense, that's obviously a big thing. And, you know, I thought the defensive line got a lot of pressure, or they got quite a bit of pressure. I think they ended up with like 6 or 7, maybe 8 tackles for loss on Saturday. So saw some good things, just, you know, not enough to win. And, you know, you just kind of keep wondering when that breakthrough is going to come.
Yeah, I think it might come at Kentucky based on what I saw last night between the Kentucky, South Carolina game. Kentucky looks like they're, you know, maybe back to Kentucky of old, like last year was, you know, just kind of a one-hit wonder for them. But as far as Arkansas, you know, I think the biggest takeaway for me from the game, guys, was that Arkansas, we wanted to know last week, was the San Jose State game an aberration, or was it maybe more of an indication of where the program is right now? And I think it's probably more of an aberration, an instance where Arkansas just completely overlooked its opponent, got behind. Compounded problems with so many turnovers in that game. And you look at the way that San Jose State came back and played against Air Force, and then the way that Arkansas played against Texas A&M, it's clear who the better team is, who the more talented team is. Now, there are concerns there. You know, why do we continually see this team fail to get up for those games against Group of 5 opponents, whether it be San Jose State this year or Colorado State or North Texas last year. But I think, you know, the biggest takeaway for me is that if Arkansas can play with that same type of focus and that same type of intensity that it showed in Arlington, then it has a chance to potentially win some SEC games. Based on what I've seen so far this season, I think Arkansas can play with Kentucky. I think Arkansas can play with Missouri. I think Arkansas can play with Mississippi State. Will they win those games? I don't know. But last week, the question was, are they going to be able to be competitive with any SEC team? And the fact that they were able to stay competitive and have a chance to win late against Texas A&M, I think shows, you know, that the program's quite a bit farther ahead at this point this season than it was last year. I know the scores are similar against A&M this year and last year. It was a 7-point loss last year. It was a 4-point loss this year. But if you watch those 2 games, it was clear that the 2 games played out very, very differently. Last year, A&M got up 17-0. This year, Arkansas was in the game, you know, pretty much from the word go. Looks like a completely different team to me this season. And I would think that if you're a fan of the Razorbacks, you've got to be pretty encouraged with what you saw yesterday based on the fact what we saw the week before. But not only that, but some of the opponents they have coming down the line.
Yeah, Ben Hicks, as Scotty was saying earlier, he was able to come in and perform well in place of the injured Starkle. Morris came out, said Starkle is still the starting quarterback, but does this change anything in your eyes as far as the quarterback situation, Matt?
No, I don't think so. I think it's still pretty clear watching the 2 of them that Starkle is going to be the quarterback that gives this offense a chance to, you know, move the ball better. I think that what you saw yesterday is what we've known about these two quarterbacks since the preseason, that Starkel is a higher risk, higher reward quarterback. And for the last two games, you know, he's made a lot of mistakes, six turnovers in the past two games. But, you know, I think he gives you an opportunity to move the ball. You know, I think when you saw Hicks come in yesterday, I think you saw A&M start to bring its safeties up a little bit, which shows that they didn't really respect his capability to make longer passes down the field like maybe they did with Starkel. And, you know, with Hicks, he was able to move the ball. I thought he made some really good throws on third down throughout the second half. But if you just kind of – Scott does a good job of charting this every week. I don't know if you've done it yet, Scotty. But if you look at where Starkel was throwing the ball and where Hicks was throwing the ball, it was a more limited offense, I think, that Hicks was running. It seemed to me like it was a lot of passes that were, you know, a lot closer to the line of scrimmage as to where Starkel can spread the field out some.
Yeah, for sure. And I, like you said, man, I don't think that yesterday necessarily changes anything in terms of the quarterback situation. But I think the way Ben Hicks came in and kind of just grabbed control of the offense, I think it earned some respect. I think he earned himself some respect. Just making some key throws. And, you know, he, like I said, he led Arkansas on two scoring drives, and, you know, he had Arkansas in a position to win the game late. And, you know, if not for, you know, a few costly penalties in the fourth quarter, like the 50-yard reception to Traylon Burks down to the A&M 25, you know, he's got plenty of time, you know, to go, you know, put Arkansas in the end zone and notch a really big win. And then if that would have happened, who knows what's next with the quarterback competition. But, you know, I figure given that Arkansas's got a week off to get healthy, I figure Starkel will be back and he'll probably still be the number one option. But I think you just feel better about the possibilities. Like if Starkel, you know, maybe does throw another couple of picks at Kentucky, or maybe he gets hurt again or re-aggravates that left arm injury, I think you feel a little bit better about your backup quarterback situation.
Defensive coordinator John Chavis, former defensive coordinator with the Texas A&M Aggies, he moved up to the booth, and Arkansas gets four sacks, two turnovers, and another defensive touchdown. Is there any correlation there, Scotty?
No, I don't know. I think Arkansas's defense just, I think they were a lot more focused. Like they knew that coming into this week that A&M's got a lot of playmakers. Like Kellen Mond is, I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I don't know that he's one of the best in the league, but he's a pretty good quarterback. And they knew that they had to knock him off his spot and move him, make him use his feet and make plays. And they did a pretty good job of pressuring him. And then they had they only had one quarterback hurry, but you know, sacked him four times, hit him several other times. So I think they were just a lot more focused. And you know, Arkansas's DBs got you know, they got torched a little bit. You know, Jamon Osbon and you know, a couple of their other guys at receiver are really good. And so I mean, it didn't surprise me that those guys made plays, but you know, I thought the effort was there. And I mean, you got a pretty big lift from Jamario Bell, who had two sacks. And then TJ Smith had another one. So those are three sacks that, you know, I don't know that you go into a certain weekend expecting those guys to tally three sacks for you. So they got some solid contributions there. And Scooter Harris, right place, right time on the scoop and score. And, you know, Gabe Richardson, I thought, played one of his best games, had five tackles and tackle for loss and forced the fumble. So they played pretty good. You wish that. I bet John Chavis just wishes they could have, you know, prevented the score right before halftime and then the early score in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, guys, this is something that I don't have any numbers necessarily to back it up, but it seems like Arkansas the past few games and really this entire season has gotten a lot of pre-snap penalties. You know, the big one that comes to mind is from the game last week with Traylon Burks being on the line of scrimmage and being covered up. Is that something that the Razorbacks and Razorback fans need to be alarmed about as they've gone, you know, five games into the season? We'll start with you, Matt.
Well, you know, the thing that the coaches praised about Ben Hicks was his ability to keep them out of some of those pre-snap penalties. When they had that first instance of a receiver being covered up, I think it was Trey Knox had the touchdown taken off the board against Ole Miss because Burks was, you know, over the top of the tight end at the line of scrimmage. That was Nick Starkle's maybe second, third possession of the Ole Miss game after they had taken Ben Hicks out. And you know, I thought Jordan Rogers made a really good point on the telecast that night that that's the quarterback's responsibility. You have to see that at the line of scrimmage, and said, you know, that's one of the big differences between Starkle and Hicks. Now, you know, the irony is that the receiver being covered up in the game against A&M, Ben Hicks was the quarterback after he had come in to replace Starkle. So, you know, it's one of those deals. I almost wonder if it's an instance in those, or in those two instances, maybe it's a matter of a quarterback coming into the game and having so much, you know, adrenaline going that, you know, maybe he's not catching everything he's supposed to. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something different. You know, but I think for the most part, if you take away those two, you know, from an offensive, from just an offensive standpoint, they've done a pretty good job, I think, of not having pre-snap penalties. The pre-snap penalties that I remember, you know, more so than the offense yesterday was the two instances where McTelvin Agim was lined up in the neutral zone. And I think there might've been another offsides or two, you know, against the defense. So I don't know if there's really a concern there. You know, I think, you know, more than anything, it's got to be an instance where those quarterbacks are looking down the line to make sure that the alignment and the formation is right before they throw those passing plays, because those are two really big passing plays, 97 yards, I think, between the two of them that they've had wiped off the board this year because of that one penalty.
Yeah, and McKelvin and Game's two penalties on back-to-back plays were like the most head-scratching things. And I think I turned and looked at Clay sitting a couple of seats to my right yesterday. I'm like, how does that happen? A game is literally, he's right over the ball or right next to the ball. I don't understand how he was lined to both sides back-to-back plays. And I think that ended up, I can't remember if A&M scored off that or not, but still that's just a little bit of that's just undisciplined. No discipline, so no discipline on his part. And then, you know, we mentioned I think there were a couple of false starts, one on Burks, which was a little bit uncharacteristic, and one on Coyle and Jackson. And then obviously the ineligible man downfield on Burks. And then there was also a little shift penalty thrown on Shine O'Grady for, you know, he was moving in the backfield. He shifted, I think, from the right side of the formation over to the left. And when he did that, I believe there were two men in motion at the same time.
Yep.
And I asked him about it after the game, and he said that was an instance when Ben Hicks was supposed to have motioned him across, but Ben didn't do that. And so O'Grady said he just took it upon himself to cross the formation. And so there's a little bit of lack of communication there. And I don't know, I guess it was just a momentary lapse, but you know, those kind of penalties, I don't know that they're like a cause for concern, but they sure seem like they pop up, you know, at some pretty inopportune times.
Yeah. The false start that you mentioned on Jackson, there at the end of the game, that was probably the most inopportune of all of them. I think people sometimes may underestimate how loud it gets inside AT&T Stadium for that Southwest Classic game. You know, A&M probably has anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 fans there on any given year. It might have been a little bit less yesterday based on the attendance numbers. But man, they make a lot of noise. And I am always so kind of taken aback, I guess would be the right word, whenever I go down there for the Southwest Classic, just how loud those A&M fans can be. And I think that, you know, it might have been an instance of crowd noise that caused that false start. Maybe, you know, that and just the anticipation of it being such a big play, 3rd and 17, you know, that the receiver just got a little bit ahead of himself.
Yeah, and I think the attendance Saturday was like 51,000. And so that was like the the smallest of the 9 years that Arkansas's played down there. But yeah, it did get really loud. Anytime either team made a play, it got really, really loud.
Yeah, the attendance keeps going down there, and it's so obvious that game's going to be moved to the campuses by 2025 at the latest, which would be the first season after the contract for the Southwest Classic is up at AT&T Stadium. And, you know, a lot of times, if you want to keep something somewhere, you know, the fans show up, and I think the lack of attendance, not just this year, but last year and the year before, it keeps going down just about every single season. And I think that's probably an indication fans are ready for this game to move out of the neutral site and back to campus.
So bye week coming up, guys. Arkansas will face Kentucky in 2 weeks. Talking about pre-snap penalties and things of that nature, what do you want to see Arkansas work on and improve so that you maybe not see it or see it in their game against Kentucky in the rest of the season? We'll start with you, Scotty.
Yeah, I think this is like a pretty obvious answer. I think they've got to get healthy. Trey Knox did not play against Texas A&M. And, you know, I think Arkansas would have loved to have his playmaking ability yesterday or on Saturday. I think that like would have given, you know, Ben Hicks another, you know, pretty reliable target. Like the kid's only four games into his college career, but he's by far Arkansas's most targeted receiver in games that he plays in. And, you know, Rakeem Boyd came out. He was a little banged up. You know, I think he kept playing. But, you know, he was favoring that shoulder. I believe that he had some work done on in the off season. So that they've got to get healthy. And I think on the offensive line, too, it'll help. I think it'll give Colton Jackson and Austin Capps. Those are two guys who typically on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when we can go watch practice, they're not typically doing any of the teamwork. And then, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I can't really think of too many injuries off the top of my head. Maybe give guys like Buster Brown and Jarquez McClellan and Cam Curl. Cam Curl had his head stuck his head in on a lot of plays on Saturday. I think he had 12 tackles, so I'm sure he's feeling it a little bit. They've got to get healthy. You know, I think if they do that, then they should feel pretty good going into Kentucky. So. Just got to get back right and get your body feeling right.
I think the biggest thing I want to see is just the intensity that Arkansas shows up with. We haven't seen them come out with the type of intensity they had against A&M in back-to-back games yet under Chad Morris. I can't remember two games where, you know, they played well back-to-back. And so they lost to a good team yesterday. Now they've got a team that they've got a good chance of maybe not a good chance is right word, but they've got a decent chance of beating Kentucky, I would think, on the road. So do they come out in that game with the same type of intensity, the same type of focus, same type of, you know, winning game plan that they had in the A&M game? And if they do that, then I think they've got a good chance of beating Kentucky because of all the, you know, all the problems that Kentucky has without their quarterback, all the starters they lost from last season. It's another tough year for Kentucky from a football, you know, for its football team. And so that's the thing I want to see is just the focus, the intensity. Are they able to replicate that against Kentucky? You never know what you're going to get off of a bye week. So, and Arkansas and Kentucky are both coming off of bye weeks going into that game. So that's a little bit of a wild card. But if Arkansas can show up with the same type of intensity that it played with against A&M, then I think it's got a pretty good chance to get its first conference win under Morris.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on today. Scotty Bordelon, Matt Jones. You can read more of their stuff at wholehogsports.com. They'll keep you updated all through the bye week and preparing you for the Kentucky game in 2 weeks as well. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have a reaction podcast for you after that Kentucky game in about 2 weeks.